הווה, נגילה, הווה, נגילה ונשמחה. הווה, נגילה, הווה, נגילה, הווה, נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Judge Eve Show, and those who do not speak Hebrew, this is your humble servant, having sung it, not the greatest in the world, but the message is great. It's let's be happy, let's sing, and let us wake up, brothers, with a happy heart, and sisters. Let me just start with a little prayer. I'm so blessed to have Marlene Peachy today with me as a guest, and I'll introduce her in a minute, but Lord, we're humbled before you. We thank you and praise you. Again, you said, whenever two or three of us shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done for us. And we thank you and ask you to let the meditations of our heart and the words of our mouth be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And Marlene, I am so honored to have you on. She's, first of all, the chairman and I think the founder of the Southern Christian Writers Guild. We'll have to tell us about it. She's an amazing author, editor, speaker, but she's written magazine articles for the Louisiana Municipal Review, Living Magazine, Sophisticated Woman, Inside Northside. And she's also, I think, special secretary editor for the same Tammany News. She's an inspirational, motivational speaker and trainer for Christian Women's Connections in Louisiana. And she's also executive assistant to the Mandeville, Louisiana mayor. And I see that she has a title, which I think is management certificate or something like that. I'll have her tell us. Marlene, welcome to the show, and thank you for being on the show with me today.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Marlene, what are your initials that say, I think, MCA, something certified management?
Oh, CMA, I'm sorry. Oh. That's Certified Municipal Assistant.
Oh,
I've got
wow.
a certified certification as a municipal assistant. I'm executive assistant to the mayor here, and that's all that is.
Wow. Well, no, it's wonderful. Also, I noticed you went to Loyola University. I went to Loyola Law School, so we're semi-connected.
Right.
You know, in some of the advertising I put out, I also said that you're an expert in relationships, and I probably shouldn't have done so.
That's okay. But while you say that, let me just make
yes.
one little correction. I'm not the founder of that group, the Southern Christian Writers Guild. I am chairman at this time, but I want to give proper credit. The founder was a lady named Linda Deniger, and we've continued on, and she's still a member, but I'm not the founder. I'm just the chairman at this time.
Okay, and how long ago was this organization founded?
Sometime around 1998, and not the exact date in front of me.
So quite recent, and I see too expanding all over the world. By the way, let me add, if anybody would like to call in, we welcome call-ins, and you may use the number 1-888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Marlene, have you written any books, by the way, as well as being an editor and writer for magazines?
Right. I've written a book for Kenny Adams.
Yes.
Kenny is a developer down here. He wanted to write a book called Grace Through the Storm.
Wow.
It was by Zulon Press in 2007, and
yes.
I wrote that with him.
Because you live in New Orleans, Louisiana, people need to know that, or at least in that area. If people want to get the book, how can they obtain it? Do you have a website?
You can get it from Amazon, and it's written in several languages. It's been promoted around the world, and you can find all that information on Amazon.com.
And what is the title of the book again, please?
Grace Through the Storm by Kenny Adams with Marlene Peachy.
Okay. By the way, I can't resist it. You know, I told you that yesterday I was doing some, you know, emailing, and the actress Marlena Dietrich was on, and I wondered, did your mother name you after her?
Well, this is really embarrassing, but my mother was a beautician, and she actually found the name on the back of a shampoo bottle. And she spelled it different, but the interesting thing is, when I was a little girl, nothing had my name on it, Marlene, spelled that way.
Oh, yes.
And I'd always have to tell people, it's Elaine, but Marlene, M-A-R. And it was hard to describe, and even though I like the name, but suddenly I put it on Google, and there were 23-plus pages of Marlene's around the world spelled the same way, and I started contacting them for fun. And because people are having Betty conventions and Lois conventions of all black people
kidding.
Named the same name, and I thought, well, I'll never have that. And I, for, just for the fun of it, I did that, and I've gotten to know several Marlenes around the world. It's pretty interesting.
That is so funny.
I know.
Have you heard back from any of them?
Oh, yeah. One of them, I have friends on Facebook named Marlene now. One's a doll designer. One's in London. One's in a lawyer in Michigan. First one I met in California now. It's really interesting.
Wow. How wonderful. And tell us, please, were you born in New Orleans or where did you
come
from?
I'm born and raised in New Orleans. I live in a town called Mandeville on the North Shore. We have a Lake Pontchartrain that divides New Orleans and Mandeville. And I moved over here over 35 years ago, and I love it.
Because you know something, you have a little bit of a New York accent.
I try so hard to be eloquent, but it comes out everywhere I speak.
That is so funny. And tell us when you speak. First, I'd like to know how you found the Lord in your life, but where do you speak when you speak, and what subjects do you cover?
I'm a national speaker for Christian Women's Club. Well, it's an international organization. I've spoken across 6 states now, all the Gulf states, Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida, and also in Missouri.
Wow. Yeah.
And I give my testimony. I travel and give my testimony in those places. I do professional speaking as a motivational speaker for various conferences.
Yes.
I've spoken at church conferences. So I do both, secular and inspirational. Whatever asks me to do, I go.
Great. That's what Jesus did, right?
Right.
By the way, if people would like to invite you to speak, how do they get in touch with you? What do they need to do?
The best place to get me, really, is here at my job at Mandeville City Hall. But my email address, actually, my personal email address is peachlane, P-E-A-C-H-L-A-N-E, peachlane@bellsouth.net. Just email me, and that's probably the best way to find me. I'm in the process of getting my own website at this time, so I'll have that shortly, and I'll be MarlenePeachy.com, but Peach Lane's the best place to get me.
Okay, and I love your last name, Peachy King, right?
Whatever
that means. So tell us, please, how and when did you accept Jesus in your life?
I was raised in a church where it was very devout and very religious, and I learned about God at a very young age. And wonderful, I learned the truth. I learned about who he was, that he loved me, that he made me, that his son Jesus Christ came to die for me. And so I believed that for a very young age. What I didn't know, and I found out at the age of 27, was that I could have a personal relationship with him. In the church that I grew up in, there was a hierarchy, and although I know I could pray, I didn't realize the intimacy I could have with a God that knew me so very well and wanted to know me closely. And found that out when I was 27.
Yes.
In a funny way, I went to a bookstore to buy something, and my ex-husband actually, a medal or something, and he didn't want it. I went to return it, and the lady said, well, we only give store credits. I couldn't find anything. And she gave me this book, and she said, if you read this and you don't like it, then I'll give you your money back. And I thought, what kind of a store is this? I had never been in it before. But the name of the book was Clap Your Hands.
Never heard of it. Who was the author?
Barry Tomczak. He's in Georgia at this time. It was about, I didn't want to read it. I threw it in my closet. My husband had left to go to Africa. He designed a gas platform for Mobile Nigeria. I had lots of time to read. I pulled it out at the bottom of my closet. I said, I'll read one paragraph and take it back. After about 2 hours of my back breaking in the bottom of my closet, I moved to the den, and this it was about Larry's life. It was a biography, and he lived my life. He believed the same things I believed, which was when I was a young girl, I was told that when I died or when the world ended, God would pull down this big screen and my life would be played on it. And God would decide whether or not I was good enough to get to heaven. So that's what I thought you had to do to get to heaven, be good enough. And so I had tried all my life to be good. I got good works, right? Oh,
in other words.
In high school, I walked away with most of the awards, not the academic awards, the extracurricular awards. You know,
well,
ideal
that's
senior. And I'm not saying this to brag. I'm just trying to tell you how much I was trying to impress God, which is a little silly, but that's what I was trying to do because I thought
Marlene, it showed even then you loved God. That's what it shows me.
I was always taught to, but in this book, Larry broke down on the interstate, and a man picked him up to give him a ride and asked him if he had ever met Jesus Christ. And Larry thought, oh, my word, who have I met? And I thought to myself, how can you meet him, you know, until you die? And explained that God had a plan for our lives and that he came to pay a debt that he didn't owe because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. And
you're
that all of our
Jesus.
Works were like filthy rags. And I thought, gee whiz, I had all these trophies that really weren't going to mean anything in heaven. And he explained that it says in the gospel that to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized for the first time that salvation was a gift and that I had to actually receive it and ask Jesus to come into my heart and give him my life. He did everything for me, and I had to give back my life for him. And then from that point on, he would live in me, and works that I would do would come from him, not of my own. It was, I just could not believe the debt was paid, and I had a clean slate. I thought that I was going to have to face this film one day and be judged as if God was Siskel and Ebert, you know?
I'm thinking there was a movie, you know, with, I forget her name, you know, she's quite a famous actress, and that's what happened. They show she and another guy die, and they show them this big screen. Have you seen that movie? Yeah, that's why it's funny you say that. Strip. What's her name? You know, Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah, Streep. That's the Hebrew accent coming out when I'm tired.
Well, I didn't when I found that out and realized my whole debt had been paid for, it blew me away. And then it's been, this next week I will have accepted Christ 36 years, and it's been
an
unbelievable journey of getting, of just knowing him, you know, learning and still learning every single day and just enjoying it.
Happy birthday for me. It was February 7, 1974. So, and by the way, see, when you say you were 27 when you accepted him, not when we're in Christ. We tend to be between 3 and 21. Most of the time 3, because he tells us to come to him like little children. Mm-hmm. And on your birthday, you can be your age for 1 minute.
Good thing I've never heard that one before.
And the reason for 21 is in case you want to go to the casinos or other places where the age is a requirement. So, and you know, he restores the youth of his people, right? So we just don't age no matter what. So go ahead. So after that, did you feel like you had a real change in your being once you accepted Jesus in your life?
It wasn't so much a physical a physical feeling. I mean, you know, the house didn't move when I prayed or anything like that. But I did know.
You're supposed to move mountains.
I did know that I changed.
Yes.
From that day forward, my life has never, never, never been the same. It's been a total adventure, and I'm never surprised at what happens.
Because you know why? You've made him Lord of your life. People don't realize it's wonderful to be saved, but when we make him Lord is when things really happen. Years ago, I'm a huge reader, and over the years, you know, some books that really, you know, leave their mark upon us. One of them was The Secret of a Happy Christian's Life by Hannah Whitehall Smith, and she was from England in the late 19th century, and it was very difficult to read. In other words, they had to translate it to simpler English.
Wow.
But the first chapter of this book, she says, if you by faith make Jesus Lord of your life, as by faith you had made him Savior, then you must know that everything that comes your way, God has permitted. And that has helped me so much, you know, all the things that I've had to go through. Because if he is Lord, then he's really in charge of our lives. Very quickly, I want to add, you know, people say, oh, I have free will, I can do whatever I want. The only free will exists is either to follow God or not to follow God.
That's so true.
Right?
It's not strange that you're saying that. I woke up in the middle of the night last night, and I really felt the Lord put something on my heart I'd like to tell you. And it goes,
please. Yes.
Well, a long time ago, he gave me an illustration of what it's like to accept him as Savior. And yes, there are a lot of people that go forward in church or in auditoriums who accept Christ as their Savior, but they're never told, they're never taught exactly the rest of the story, and that yes, is that mm-hmm, you're putting your total trust in him. It isn't like putting him in your back pocket, and he truly comes to live in you. So
right,
you just don't put yes, him in your back pocket like an insurance policy, and you go off yes, and live life the way you want.
Yes.
It's a total handing over of your life. And to some people, yes, they go, I don't think I want the controls to be taken
yes,
over. But if you put your hands and your life into the person who created you, the person
yes,
who created the whole universe and everything that's in it, who had a plan for your life, then
exactly,
what you're doing is just fulfilling your destiny. Everything that
yes,
you were ever created to be, created
yes,
for, the purpose for your very life will come true when you put yourself into his hands, and it will far surpass anything that you have for yourself. And the illustration he gave me is that
yes,
I'm sure you've probably seen somewhere a bicycle built for two.
Oh yes, right. One.
And God just
other,
showed me that's the picture. When you trust him with your salvation, it's like getting on the back of a bike.
Yes.
And you get on, and he does the steering.
Yes.
He does the main pedaling. What you do is you're just following. Your faith
yes,
requires that you get on the bike and you're going to go for the ride, you know?
Right.
And he steers, like I said, he sets the pedal pace. He takes you to places you have never been or could never
yes,
imagine. And you don't have to be afraid because he's with you. All you've got to do is hang on, trust, you know, obey, keep up the pace that he sets. Just follow
yes,
him.
Yes.
Don't drag your feet. Don't try to put the brakes on. You can't steer from the back. All you
right,
can do is hang on and trust, and you'll be taking places you've never dreamed.
And you know,
wonderful
say,
experience.
And people say, you know, that they're not the pilots, they're the co-pilots. You know, God is the pilot, they're the co-pilot,
right,
which is the same indication. I
right,
want people to know, too, how dedicated you are to God. The minute you knew the show was coming up, you told me you were going on a fast, and God bless you for that. You know, people
mm-hmm,
don't realize God doesn't need us to fast. We need to fast sometimes so we can hear him more clearly.
Exactly.
You know, have you had any revelations this week that you'd like to share with the people as to what might have come to you or could be helpful to others?
Well, that's the main one that he's giving me. I'm trying to think of something else. It seems like on a day-to-day basis, I write things down.
Make it a book. Make a book of it. Have you thought about
right,
that?
I'll tell you two books that have really spoken to me a lot, and one of them
yes,
was yes, written very well, and I don't see it getting enough publicity, but
yes,
it's got so much truth in it, it hit me right at my heart. It's
yes,
a book written by a pastor called, his first name escapes me now. His last name is Eidelman. I want to say it's Ken or Kevin
a
Eidelman.
Jewish guy?
Anyway, it's called Not a Fan.
Wow.
The book is black, and in white letters, it just says Not a Fan, very
how
simple.
Funny.
And it tells this simple story that
yes,
if you're going to follow Jesus Christ and be a true Christian, it's not like sitting in an auditorium and watching a football team play.
Right,
it's being a follower, and it
and
explains what it means to be a follower.
And a
not only the benefits, but also
right,
the discipline, and
yes,
which is really not hard. It's really just all about yielding, you know.
Exactly.
But that book just every... It's not a Bible study or maybe becoming one, but
yes,
in several of the Bible studies I teach, I've just picked that one up some nurses at a hospital locally, and we are
oh,
just loving it.
Oh.
And the second one is a book called Jesus Calling, which is real popular today.
Oh.
I've heard a lot about it, and I just got myself one called, it's written by Sarah Young, and
uh-huh,
it's just a daily devotional, and it just
yes,
seems like every day when I open it, it speaks to me. It's really a phenomenal book.
You know, there used to be, by Chambers, I think was his name, there were many, like, daily teachings like that, but you don't
Oswald
hear,
Chambers,
my
utmost for his
yes,
highest. I read that every day, too.
Isn't that something? And you know something? What's happening, a lot of the wonderful books have disappeared. I'm, like I say, a huge reader. I had, like, 5,000 books, and many
mm-hmm,
of them have been stolen from me because you're not going to have them republished anymore. You know, everything, every attempt now is to take God out of country, you know, to lead us down to the road to communism. So we need to stand firm. You know,
right,
people see God. I am a prophet. I was anointed to be a prophet, and God really shows me things way ahead of time. And He showed me one time. He showed me. Remember the show As the World Turns? You know, the soap show.
Mm-hmm.
And He showed me a globe, like you'd see at the beginning of that show, and there was a gray blanket on it. As I tell you, I even see what the blanket is made, like it's about an inch thick, and I can see all the fibers. And I saw, this huge right palm lift up the blanket, and on the top of the globe were buildings attached one to the other, just the outlines of buildings, like you would see in New York skyline. And as the world turned towards me, windows and doors started to appear, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I show you things way ahead of time in general outlines, but as the time gets closer, I fill in the details. So, you know, when he speaks to us, it's like it's etched in our being. You know?
Right.
And I wanted to make a comment about what you said, the dedication to God. You know, it's not hard to be dedicated to God. It's really easier than doing things on our own.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, people can choose to have their own self-will and they get nowhere. It's like paddling and staying in one place.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, like you say, sit on that bicycle built for two, like Jesus said, his yoke is easy, right?
Right.
His burden is light. So the burden is on God. Why not let him have it?
Absolutely. Well, every day at my job, I sit here and I'm amazed that I'm in the position I'm in. Not that I'm exalting myself in any way. I'm humbled by it every day because I was just a mom and a mother of three, which I think is the greatest job a woman can have myself. But but to sit here in the mayor's office and to write speeches and to be I sit here humbled because it's amazing to me that God put me in this place. But I know it's to be used, and it's only to seek him every day for what to do.
But he knows the gifts he put in each of us. So if we let him expose them, then he will bring us up to the highest of those gifts. And by the way, haven't you told me, too, you're being called upon to help others how to write? Or are you available to teach others?
Yeah, I'm getting ready. That's another thing. I've just been approached to ask to teach some writing classes.
Great.
And that's another one of those amazing things that God just brings to you. It's so much better than trying to do it on your own. I forgot to add before before I accepted Christ, having tried to do it by works, I used to think, what is it going to be like when I get to heaven if I'm standing in line behind Mother Teresa, somebody like that? You know, my senior trophy is not going to be too big. But thanks be to God that we don't have to trust, you know, our own works. But it's only the works that he wants to use us in that he's interested in. And so just like somebody calling me, asking me to teach writing classes just blows me away. And things like that happen all the time. And it's a very exciting life. It's
because
like sitting on the back of that bike and looking from side to side at where you're going and where you're being taken and just being thrilled.
And not only that, isn't that wonderful when it is brought to you without your making any effort to bring it about? And by the way,
and especially when you know there's no possible way you could be doing this or be here by yourself.
Exactly.
And it's got a higher purpose, and you're just humbled by the whole thing. All you do is just go along for the ride and obey.
Yes, but see, Marlene, and I think I told you before, this is like a springboard for you today to do huge things all over the world. So you either get ready to do a lot of travel or find a way to do it on the computer. You know, people do conference calls now. So you'll be on a lot of those on your private time just teaching people all over the world. The image I'm getting is Africa of all places. 'Cause I've been to Liberia. You know how they have these very fancy outfits, you know? The women wear these long dresses and those, you know, things on the head. And that's what I was seeing. You'd be teaching to those ladies who've really not had much education. And as you teach the writing, you'll also be teaching Jesus. Has that been in your heart at all? Has that ever been a thought?
I support someone right now. I don't know if you know who Bruce Marciano is.
No.
I know from your past being in California, he's an actor, and he was asked to play the part of Jesus in the Gospel according to Matthew.
Wow.
And he's got his own ministry, Marciano Ministries.
Yes.
And he did a wonderful job of playing the part of Jesus, and he shows the side of joy, the joy that our Lord had. And first I got the tapes, and I've heard him in person, and he is the most down-to-earth. When he gives a call to accept Christ, he is the most down-to-earth person. And I became one of his supporters years ago, and he has moved on, and he's getting ready, I think, to do he is going to do the Gospel of John, but he's done the Encounter 2, and several other things. But he goes to Africa right now, and I support that ministry, and he's making a difference there and with orphaned kids and spreading the gospel and everything you're saying. I support that ministry there.
What state or country is he in? Because I'm seeing, as you're talking, it's a jungle-like setting, a lot of trees, and that one person I see, the dress is like orangey. I always see the design in detail. So uh-huh. she may be one of the teachers there. Do you know what country he's in? Because it's not developed where I see him.
I only know it's in Africa. I'd have to go.
Yeah.
He talks about it on his website. It's MarcianoMinistries.com, and he reports all that. And
okay.
I don't know exactly what city it's in, but
okay.
that's where he goes.
You
and
need
plus,
to look
of course, he goes all over the United States. That's just a side ministry that he has.
Well, you need to look at the website yourself to know where you'll be going, at least not going in person, but ministering to. You'll be teaching them writing, and you'll be teaching them how to speak, and you'll be teaching them about Jesus. And
wow.
When the picture persists in my mind like that, it's very specific. It's the person you'll be dealing with. So she's not a young girl, so she must be one of the teachers there. I wish I were a good artist. I would draw it for you. You know, let me just repeat again. If anybody would like to call and speak to Marlene, the phone number to call is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-620. Sorry, I am tired too. I hardly slept last night. 627-6008. Marlene, if people would like to invite you to do writing for them or teach them writing, should they contact you the same way at your
Yes, they can contact me at peachlane@bellsouth.net and write me.
Okay, that's P-E-A-C.
Or I'll be glad to give my cell phone out. It's 985,
that's
the code, 630-1798.
Please give it once more so people can hear it.
985-630-1798. And if anybody ever loses that number, I'm at City Hall in Mandeville, Louisiana. I'm sure you can find me there sometime.
At least leave you a message, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you say Lake Pontchartrain, you know, all of us would have heard about it during the hurricane, you know, that was so disastrous to New Orleans. How is the situation there now? Is the area doing better?
Oh, yeah. We're very resilient here in Mandeville. We've
yes.
got a great mayor, great town, and we bounce back fast.
So let me ask you, after you got saved about 37 years ago or so, 36,
mm-hmm.
what happened to you specifically that you can tell the people?
You mean spiritually or
yes. Let's
personally? Or
let's start spiritually. In other words, did you have any other landmarks that happened after that that caused you to have a deeper walk with God or anything that became a revelation as to what you're supposed to be doing?
It's just, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I
mm-hmm.
continually, I've just read my Bible back and forth daily and just got deeper and deeper and deeper into understanding. I mean, I'll never understand it all until I go home one day. But
yes.
just, I never do stop learning things about
yes.
God and the things He did. And it's caused me to, probably one of the biggest spiritual things, going to Israel, actually.
Ooh,
I never
yeah.
dreamed in a million years, that I'd ever be able to go there. I did get to go to Europe
yes.
Immediately after I accepted Christ.
Yes.
My ex-husband said, I'm already over here. Why don't we go to Europe? I have 6 weeks off. So we went around Europe for a month.
Wow.
And that was exciting. But
yes.
To go to Israel and now to have gone 4 times, I can't
wow.
even believe I'm saying that. But
oh,
and actually, I've even gone to college there. That's unbelievable
wow.
to me, too, but it all happened.
And Marlene, if I may say so, you know, I feel that you have Jewish in your background, you know, because many of the Spaniards, the Jews in Spain who were converted to Catholicism,
mm-hmm.
many of them were called Marranos, and they actually, you know, they may have practiced Catholicism overtly, but secretly they were Jews. And in
mm-hmm.
fact, so many years ago, about 20, there used to be an article in the Daily News in the San Fernando Valley by Los Angeles, California, that
mm-hmm.
hundreds of thousands of Mexicans have found out that they came from these Marrano Jews. And they
wow.
just felt it. And then when you investigate a little further, the grandmothers would light candles Friday night, which is a custom, you know, Jewish custom to welcome the Sabbath, you know, on
right.
Saturday. Or they would bless things in a certain way, even though they were Catholics. They had
mm-hmm.
all that Jewish. And with me, God, when I was anointed as a prophet, it was to my people Israel. And the what I know, if somebody has even 1/1000th of their blood Jewish, I know it. So I know you're Jewish. But tell us, and I'm going to be going on a break in about a minute, but when did you go to Israel and how did you feel when you went there? What did it do to you?
The first time was in 99. I went with Zola Levitt Ministries. And in a nutshell, that can be summed up as a wonderful two-week tour, including Jordan. But the most amazing thing was when I got there, I went to my hotel room one night, and I said, God, I love seeing all this. I love being where you walked and seeing what you saw. But, you know, I kind of thought that I'd feel you somewhere here. I'd sense you were here. And all of a sudden, in the quiet stillness of my heart, I heard, I came with you. I forgot. He lives inside of me. He lives in me. And actually, he was with me all the time. It wasn't for me to find him there. Right. It was for me to see the ancient history of where he was and where I'm going to live one day, you know. But
Let me stop you, if I may, because we are going to go on a short break, and we'll be right back on the other side with Marlene Peachy, who is a wonderful, wonderful Christian. Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, known also as Cohen Sternlight. I'm so glad to be on bbsradio.com every other Saturday, like this Saturday, June 2nd. I have a website, www.90210holocaust.com. That's HOLOCAUST.com. The story of my parents' murder in Beverly Hills by my brother and sister and the theft of their millions. I've written a couple of books, but one of them is available on the website as an e-book, Diary of Sovereign Faith in Action. Also, I am a prophet, I am a seer, and I am a healer, and if people are interested, I can set up appointments to help people for a fee, and it will depend on what's involved and what has to be done. And to reach me, you can reach me by my email, eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J U D like David, G like George, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing what else you would like to hear on the show and what help you might need. Also, legally, especially for people who are unemployed, I can help. I cannot give specific advice, but I can help. Maybe also political issues and other legal issues and spiritual issues. But Marlene, you said you found Marciano's website, please?
Yes, and his spot in Africa is in South Africa, in the northwest province and near the Cape.
Oh, well, South Africa itself, you know, at least the big cities, is beautiful and very modern, but this is definitely out in the jungle area because I see the brown earth, there's thatched, you know, cottages-like things, not modern buildings. And the woman is standing, like, to the kitty corner of the building on the, I don't know if it's north or south, but the far corner from me, and then in front of her and to the back of her are many, many trees. So yeah, isn't that, well, it'll be interesting. You know, if it does happen, would you kindly let me know so I can...
Sure will. I wanted to tell you the author of that book, Not a Fan, is Kyle Eidelman.
Yes.
I looked that up, too.
Yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
That's all. The name is Kyle Eidelman with Not a Fan.
C-A-R-L?
That's all I wanted to tell you.
C-A-R-L? If you know.
K-Y-L-E. Kyle.
Oh, Kyle. Okay. First goes the hearing, right? And, you know, Eidelman sounds like a Jewish name, actually. You know, if it's, do you know that if the the final part of the name is man, M-A-N, if it's one N, they're usually Jewish. If it's double N, they're usually German. Isn't that interesting?
And
and doesn't always apply. So a little tidbit.
Oh.
So, Marlene, let's go and hear what happened to your life in the natural and the physical that became a huge change after you accepted Jesus in your life.
In the physical, I've gone through three divorces, and that's been unusual. The first time I got married, we didn't have anybody divorced in my family, and I just dreamed of divorce. And then I went through three separate ones, and it was heartbreaking. But
were you raised Catholic? Is that why?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. See, go ahead, and I'll say something when you.
It was heartbreaking, but
oh yes.
Yes.
But, you know, let me tell you, and I was going to share that on the air, I told you I would, when I was ministering, because I've ministered all over the country, excuse me, you know, there used to be Women Aglow and Full Gospel Businessmen and churches, and, you know, because of, before I would minister, it's always, God, what do you want me to talk about? And he showed me one time that he was putting together couples who were two sides of the same coin. They have one heart, he's the head, she's the backup. And they walk together forward like a three-legged race, not one saying, I want to go forward, one saying, I want to go back. Mm-hmm. And then they can also turn back to back to protect each other 360 degrees. And if one is down, the other one can pick them up, you know, because we're all children and grown-ups, you know, at different times. And which is why he had sent out the apostles two by two, not one by one. And with my case, very quickly, when Cohen divorced me, was because he said, you either give up this Christ fantasy or it's our marriage. And I couldn't give up Christ. And about 8 years before, I literally heard like a snap over my head, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, whatever God has put together, let no man put asunder. But it doesn't say that God cannot put it asunder. And from that day on, he was no longer my husband for 8 years. So don't mm-hmm. feel badly. There's a reason. Each person you were married to had something to teach you. Do you feel that when you look back?
All right. And, you know, when you're going through it, it's really hard. Yeah. But in all three cases, I didn't want the divorce. But all three of them, are we get along fine now.
Wow.
We are amicable.
Yeah.
We realize it's not what we all wanted. Things happen and situations happen. But, yeah, that was the reason. Each particular time, and I'm not a proponent by any means of divorce. I'm a proponent of marriage, and I believe people out there who are listening should try everything that they can possibly do to work toward communication and a good marriage. And no matter how hard you try, sometimes it fails, and it's sad. And if there was anything I could have done to save mine, I would have done them, but it wasn't my choice.
But today,
I look back and. I never had those nasty, ugly divorces. I wouldn't be a part of that.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Don't you teach people about relationships as well, how to get along better? What kind of teachings do you
teach? I teach Bible study at church, and I teach a Sunday school. I'm not teaching a Sunday school class at this moment, but I do, and I've seen the fruit of it. I've seen the fruit of, as long as you do what you're supposed to do, what God's leading you to do, and no matter what's happening around you, my favorite scripture has always proven true, and that's Romans 8:28, which says, for we know that God works together all things together for the good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose.
Exactly.
He always, no matter what's happened, he's always worked it out for my best.
Amen. Now, if you look back, are any of these husbands saved now that you know, or do you know?
The only one that was, well, my second husband accepted Christ. I don't know if he wasn't discipled after that, so I don't know if he truly is saved. But the husband we recently got divorced, he definitely is saved.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Because, again, you know, I had emailed you, you know, what Schuller used to say, you know, God gives us an idea, and we think it's going to happen right away, but then he has us die to that idea, and then he restores it his way. Because whatever needs to be done to fix the two people separately, so when they come together, they don't kill each other, you know? And, you know, that's what I always thought. You know, I thought you get saved and everything is okay. And I minister a lot in inner healing because God really shows me the damage. He told me we're all damaged property, and he shows me the damage that's caused from the time of conception and then the generational curses. Do you do any of that at all? Are you led to help people that way?
Oh, definitely. I definitely believe in breaking generational curses, that's for sure.
Yes, exactly. And when you teach also for the Christian Women's Association Connection, what is it called, that group?
Those groups, they have Bible studies within those groups, and I've taught them in the past, but I mainly go and give my testimony there. I teach Bible studies during the week. I teach one here. I lead the ones at City Hall and one at the hospital. Home, and I do my grandchildren too as well during the summertime.
But I thought you were 21 or 3. How can you have grandchildren?
7 grandchildren.
How many? 7. Oh, me too. That's funny. And are they saved? I mean, are your children saved?
My children are definitely saved. When they were very little and I first accepted Christ, they were the first people I evangelized. Every one of them I told, I didn't make them. I just told them the story when they got old enough that they would accept Christ, and they did.
Wow.
And they have wonderful lives today. They're Christians, they're successful, and they're raising their kids with the truth as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. And Marlene, is there anything on your heart that you would like to bring out to the people's attention that we should go into?
Well, I think right now the Lord's moving me in the area of divorce. It seems like I got more and more people calling me.
Yes.
And I don't like that. That's my platform. I'm not that proud of it. But
no. That's why he let you go through what you went through. So you can, unless we experience something, what we say is hollow. So
the scripture says we're to comfort other people with the comfort we've been given.
Amen.
And so the most recent thing he's given me is to write a book. Another thing he gave me in the middle of the night on helping people with divorce. And I thought, Lord, to write it myself, I could write a book myself, trust me, on what I've been through, but told me to expand that. And he gave me the names of the chapters and told me,
wow.
I'm going to be putting this on the SouthernChristianWritersGuild.com website. I'm going to call for submissions.
Yes.
It's going to be an anthology, much like, Chicken Soup for the Soul and Cup of Comfort and those kind of things.
Yes.
I'm going to give an opportunity of people out there who have gone through and learned lessons from that could help other people. And I've copyrighted the book title. It's called Risen from Divorce.
Wow.
And I'm going to write the introduction and a little story of my own, but it's going to be from people, whoever, around the world that want to write in. And, of course, you won't mention the true names of, I don't want to put scandals out there with anybody who's been through anything. So
the regular media does. Why should you be different?
Right? I know, but I don't want to hurt anybody.
I
don't want to do that. So, and I will pay for submissions that are accepted. I'm in the process of publishing now. But I will have all those details on the Southern Christian Writers Guild website, and you'll find me there. And that's SouthernChristianWritersGuild.com.
That's what I wanted you to talk about. Tell us what that group does and why was it founded to begin with.
It was founded by Linda Deniger back in the late 90s. She wrote for a local paper, and I wrote for a local paper. I was a special sections editor and business editor. And we and two other ladies got together, and we would just talk about other things we would write. And then finally, Linda got too busy and moved on to passed it on to another lady, Grace Booth and myself, and we just continued meeting. And we meet here at City Hall now on the second Saturday of the month at 10 a.m., and you'll find us in the Christian Market Guide that now Jerry Jenkins puts out, as a matter of fact. It used to be Sally Stewart. Now it's Jerry Jenkins.
Yes.
And we're listed in the back under Writers Groups. And we meet, and we have a speaker each month. One month we'll do just critiquing, and we'll bring in things we write, and we critique each other. And it's a group that encourages each other to do what we're supposed to be doing. In the meantime, the speakers, today we had Joe McKeever, from New Orleans, originally from Alabama, and he taught us on how to put humor in your writing. And we'll have people speak on copywriting, character development, all different kinds of things. And it just helps keep us going. And then we have a time of accountability before it's over. And we go around the room and say, where are you in this particular project and how are you coming along? And it's just an encouragement.
Yeah, and you know what? People can be members from all over the country. I'd like to say I'm a member. So you invite people. People can be anywhere and still be members, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And we don't have dues per se. We do have dues. It's $25 a year if you want to be on the website. And that puts you on the website. It puts your books on there. And that way, if other people want to find you, they can.
Yes, and that's very important. You know, and I think people should hear it again. So the way they go to your website is SouthernChristianWritersGuild.com?
Correct.
Okay, so does it have a shorthand like SCWG or you have to
spell everything spelled out.
Everything spelled out. And people need to know that, and again, to encourage them to submit those stories to you for your book. Because, I think, 50% of the population has been divorced.
I know. And I'm sure this book is going to be a series. And I'm going to develop this into a further series by making other stories like Risen from Grief and Risen from Unforgiveness. And that's the vision the Lord gave me. But I'm going to start off with divorce.
Yes. you know, it's like the dumbing down, you know, what is computers for dummies, right? How about divorce for dummies? Oh, I had to arise from that. You know, a couple of things that really bother me. You know, I live in the state of Washington where they recently legalized marijuana use, and I used to represent kids on drugs using marijuana, so it just upsets me no end because marijuana does, you know, not only affect judgment but literally destroys brain cells. And the second thing, they allow gay marriages here, you know, which just upsets me no end, you know. Do you know what else I read this week? And I think it was Rush Limbaugh. He says that now there's an effort to have pedophilia be legalized. Can you believe this?
No way.
I'm telling you. It just, see, Sodom and Gomorrah, I say, I always go into the area of the worst wars, you know. Excuse me. So what a way to destroy America. This is it just really breaks my heart.
Speaking of destroying it, the breakdown of the family unit, getting back to divorce, is what brought the Roman Empire down. But people are walking around that have been through divorce that are bitter and angry. Yes. And if they would just learn, you know, that there's another way, it would help them be free and let go of the baggage they're carrying and look forward. You can't possibly move on in life carrying all that kind of baggage.
And
so that's part of the things I'm helping people with. I've written a for Christian Women's Club, you can change your talk from time to time, and I've written a parody on fairy tales. It's called Living Happily Ever After Divorce.
You should make that into a book. That should be a book title.
It should. And it talks about the fact that, you know, we were raised thinking, you know, we were all going to live happily ever after and our prince was going to come and all that kind of stuff. And so life doesn't always happen that way. For some people it does, and it's such a blessing. But for some people it doesn't. And so it's a talk on that. And for those of us who are Christians, it's to realize that our true prince already has come. And so
Exactly. Wow.
And he's got a plan for our lives. So hoping to keep people lighthearted and to move on to become all that they were meant to be.
You know, the lightheartedness, not only because laughter is medicine to the bones, you know, it's more, you know, healthy. And, you know, one thing my kids would say to me, because I would say to them, you know, it takes more muscles to frown than to smile. So why
waste
your energy, right? And the second thing my daughter would say to me, she loved it, it's 80% of what we worry about never happens. 10% never happens the way we worry. So for 10% or 5%, why worry?
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
And don't people also learn better through humor and joking? You know, things stick in the brain more effectively. But Marlene, really, write those two titles down. I think you'll be wonderful. People need to laugh. And, you know, again, I call God the master setup. Again, we think we have free will. You know, people say, oh, we have free will. I have not been able to find that verse again, but, you know, God uses evil for his purposes. He will use whatever it takes to get us, you know, beaten down and redone. So we are
that
in
scripture
his...
is in Genesis, I think it's chapter 39. It's the end of Joseph where Joseph's brothers are really crying to him because they didn't mean to do what they did, they said. And he said, don't worry, what Satan meant for evil, God can use for good.
But I know that one, but what about the one specifically where he uses evil for his purposes?
I don't know that one.
Okay, so it could be the one you're just saying, thank you. You know I have a Joseph calling, he told me. You know, the reason I was able, because you have no idea with me, my life had been threatened. You know, my parents were killed in Beverly Hills.
Oh, because, that's amazing. I bought your book. It was great.
Oh,
I just can't believe that.
You read the good part.
Yeah.
With mine will be the second part, and some of the books he's having me write about, you know, which when I get to, I think will be very, very helpful and popular, hopefully. Because, you know, each of us are like, we're the anchors on his behalf on this earth. And I've shared that story before, but I feel led to share it again. When I used to minister, it was always, God, what do you want me to talk about? You know, and it was 1989, beginning of the year, it was in churches. And he had me talk about Deuteronomy 4:1, go ye and possess the land. You know, very militant. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the people and they're hurting. And, you know, in 2 Corinthians 5:13, he says, you know, when we're in our right mind, we're for other people. When we're beside ourselves, we're for God. You know, when you feel good, you can help the whole world. When you don't feel good, you can't even think beyond yourself. So I'm saying, God, I said, look at them. They're hurting. They can't think war. So from March till the end of November, and I think you do the same thing, right? He's our friend. We talk to God. We hear from God. And
But the one thing that disappoints me so much is that people hear you're a Christian, they think that, you know, you're supposed to go around carrying your Bible, wearing a cross and chain around your neck, and being a real religious person. And
no,
it's about religion. It's about relationship.
Yes.
And when you get to know who Jesus is and how much he loves you and how much he really knows about you, it's the best friendship in the whole world. I'll look back and I'll laugh at the things that I'm doing, even like he's talking about speaking. When I was in high school, although I played varsity for 4 years, I had something inside of me wanted to go into the speech department. I don't know why, because they were going on the bus and going to boy-girl tournaments, and I was just stuck with an all-girls school playing ball all the time, so I joined that as well.
Would every charity have to dangle in front of you, right?
And so when I went there, they said, we only have one opening. It's in the after-dinner speaking. I went, what is after-dinner speaking? They said, well, you pretend you're speaking at a luncheon or a dinner, and you go into competition. So I did, ever dreaming I'd be speaking around the United States. And
Same way with,
I used to watch the Dick Van Dyke Show when I was little, and they would write a TV program. And my
brother
now, who accepted Christ, he is owner of Louisiana Media Group, which is video production and sound and all that kind of stuff. And they can do commercials and all. And all of a sudden, he's invited me in to write those kind of things, and it's amazing. And he's a Christian recording artist as well. His band's called Counting the Day, and I've helped him with some of that. And it's just you just never know the things you could never possibly dream. He brings you there, and it just blows your mind.
Because again, he's given you those gifts. He put in you the gift of a speaker.
Oh, it's all from him. It's none of your own.
Exactly.
None of your own. And it's so much more fun than wearing a cross and chain or carrying around a book around trying to beat somebody over the head with it, because that doesn't work. But when people see where God takes you in your life, they want that. And you know what?
Yes.
It's not me. He has a plan for each and every person out there. I'm talking about the things he's brought me through, and there's a lot more we don't have even time to talk about. But that same plan for each he has for each individual, they have gifts they don't even realize that he wants to grow in them and use them specifically. Nobody is a nobody. You know, everybody is somebody. And
it's another title for a book, Nobody's a Nobody. That'll be
That's a good one. But God's got a plan. Every person that's born, you know, is his creation.
Yes.
And so he's got a plan. If they would just realize how loved they are, how much he loves them and has a plan for their life, they wouldn't give up and they'd go forward.
Yes, and not only that, because he made us. He knows what he put into us. He tells us we're all part of his body. And it's like the ear cannot say to the eye, hey, I don't need you, or, you know, the leg to the arm, I don't need you.
Right.
Everybody has a function. And he's the only, God is not man that he should lie. He never lies.
Right.
So, you know something that I think I told you, the only time God repented, you know, from, I told you about Moses, you know, God, Exodus, I think, 32. God said, I'm going to destroy those Israelites because they built that golden calf. And Moses said, well, then you destroy me too. And God repented. So, see, when I, you know, in Jeremiah, he says, come, let us reason together. So I do that, right? I say, you made me a lawyer. I'm going to argue with you.
Right, and people don't understand. Repentance is, I don't believe God sinned, but to repent is to walk one way, and then you totally turn around and walk the other, you know?
Wow, I love that image.
God changed his mind there. He changed his mind from going in one direction to go to another direction because he gave Moses the grace of what he asked for. So
that's
what happened when I accepted Christ. I was walking in this way that I thought was the right way, and I was going the wrong way, you know?
But
and so I had to turn around and go another and learn that way.
We only have a few more minutes, Marlene. Is there anything else you wish to add for the people's benefit? Is there a prayer you'd like to say? Is there something you wish to enlighten the people with that is really deep in your heart?
If I had an opportunity, and this is one, to tell anybody in the world anything, it's that God loves them more than they could ever possibly realize. He watched them being knit in their mother's womb. He knows everything that they're about. He knows the plans he has for them. And all he wants them to do is open their heart and let him in and help them to become everything they were meant to be. No matter what obstacle they're facing, no matter what they've been through, he's still there and he loves them and he wants them to be with him forever one day. And all it takes is opening up your heart and saying yes to him.
And not only that, but even if people had like terrible fathers, terrible mothers, terrible home life, God can take care of all of that because He's truly our Heavenly Father. Do you like?
Absolutely.
Do you feel led to call people to salvation? Are you inclined that way right now?
Yes. If there's anybody out there that is not sure what I'm talking about, it's a matter of just saying a simple prayer and believing in who He is first, and then asking Him to come in and live in them from there on. And if you want me to, I will pray right now.
Yes, please.
Okay. If you've never before accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then just repeat with me this prayer. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son.
I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son.
And He came and died and rose again.
And He came and died and rose again.
And paid the price for my sins.
And paid the price for my sins.
I'm sorry for everything I've ever done.
I'm sorry for everything I've ever done.
I ask You to come into my heart.
I ask You to come into my heart.
And be my Savior.
And be my Savior.
And I receive the gift of eternal life.
And I receive the gift of eternal life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And for everyone that said that prayer, they have now truly become a child of God. And from here on out, they need to get a Bible, to read their Bible, and to get into a church and belong to a body so that they can grow and become a part of a church where God can use them and use them wherever in the world He sends them.
And into a Bible teaching church so they get
Bible
the
teaching church, correct.
Yes. Marlene, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Are you
I
welcome.
I love you. God bless you. I pray favor upon you and all your enterprises. And like I told you, you're being catapulted into like a fifth level, and I don't know what that means.
Well, I accept it, whatever it is.
Lord, you know what it is. You know the gift you've given her. You know the direction you've given her and her purpose in this life. And time is short before your return. So you manifest it all for her now. And for all the listeners, we love you. Have a blessed day. And again, to contact Marlene, her email is peachlane@bellsouth.com.
Or dot net.
I'm sorry, dot net. See, I can't read my writing. Peachlane, P-E-A-C-H Lane, L-A-N-E, at Bell South, that's BELLSOUTH.net, or her cell phone, 985-630-1798, that's 985-630-1798. Love you, Marlene. God
you
bless
too.
You. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you all, people. And bye-bye. Evenu shalom alechem. Evenu shalom alechem. Evenu shalom alechem. Evenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem. Evenu shalom alechem. Evenu shalom alechem. Evenu shalom alechem. Evenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem. Evenu shalom, shalom, shalom alechem.